Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of We Are Faith. So thankful that you were able to join us today. Today, we have a very special guest. My wife and I, Sister Maddie Partlow, myself, Josh Partlow, are so proud to be hosting brother and sister Tyler Newborn. All right. Well, I've been
told... You're doing great.
I've been told that I'm supposed to leave these bloopers in, so...
All right, cool.
We're just going to leave them in there.
It's okay. I know we've only been friends for how long now? Know our name?
Yeah. It's been at least 2 years, right? Not to mention, you know, the times that we just visited before that. So we're going to get it together, everybody. I am so proud to introduce our great friends, who hopefully are still our friends after this, Pastor Tyler Newborn and Sister Rhea Newborn, both wonderful ordained ministers in our church. They both have an incredible testimony, and I know that they've got some great things to say about discipleship today, which just so happens to be their department. They lead our discipleship ministry here at Faith Tabernacle, do a wonderful job. I've been through as much of their course as I could go through. I was getting scheduled for other things at times, but the classes I was able to join, I feasted in. So thank y'all so much for what you do. Why don't we just start off with this? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the discipleship ministry is, what it looks like, what you do on a daily basis? We want to know everything.
I guess I'll start with this. So now, honestly, making disciples is what everybody should be doing, right? But specifically here at Faith Tabernacle, the discipleship ministry entails everything from teaching elements classes, welcome to the family, prayer ministry, even the what Brother Fox and Sister Marsha Fox do is the nursing home ministry. So there's a lot of things that fall up under the category of discipleship. But I think our favorite one so far has been teaching the elements class. Actually making disciples here at Faith Tabernacle.
No, absolutely. And I called it the discipleship class. It is elements, right? And I think that that's such a crucial distinction because, you know, discipleship is a basic element of what we do as believers, right? I mean, as you said, Pastor Tyler, we should be discipling everyone, right? And I made this point in a previous episode. It's something I heard yesterday and Pastor Tyler and I talk quite often. Our wives actually give us a hard time about it. But, you know, we like to bounce ideas off of each other. He thinks similar to me. I think he thinks on a little bit higher plane than I do, which is why I like to bounce ideas off of him.
Whatever.
But, you know, I think it's interesting to note that discipleship is a process, right? It isn't something that, and I don't want to steal your thunder today, right? But I do want to kind of segue into this, that discipleship is a process. It isn't, you know, day one deliverance, right? You can deliver somebody in one service, but discipleship takes time, right? So tell us a little bit about that process and how the elements class helps them work through that process and get to that place of discipleship.
So you saying that it's a process, right? Now, I'm going to go back and we'll say this, that the process of discipleship and making disciples first starts with me becoming a disciple. I've always said that you cannot make a disciple unless you are first a disciple. You can't show people how to follow Jesus unless you are first following him. You can't teach anybody anything unless you are first learned. And so when we talk about the discipleship process, even before you even get to elements, right, it starts with me as an individual. I know the other day me and you were talking about discipleship a little bit, and I had made the comment that if we're to be the discipleship pastors, right, then who better to be a disciple than us? And so when we talk about making a disciple, when we talk about going out and reaching for people, I think the first stop in that entire process starts with us. I first must be a disciple. I first must be the one that follows Christ and learns about him before I can even go and show it to anybody. And then, like, as far as teaching elements, I think teaching a class and being able to reach into people's lives to this extent, comes from a place of I'm serving the Lord. I'm trying to learn about him myself. I have not arrived. I'm still trying to get there, right? Because discipleship is not a one-time experience, but to me, it's a lifestyle. And so before we even get to teach the class, I think that it starts with a lifestyle of being a disciple first, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree to that. And I think the really cool thing about the Elements class that we get to partake in is, yes, we are teaching things such as, you know, our foundational doctrines. Like, we're teaching things like Acts 2:38. Like, these are what we would consider like the non-negotiables of being a disciple. But we're also teaching just practical things in the Elements class, which is really cool to see our disciples kind of embrace and take on as their own. Like, we're teaching practical things like communication. We're teaching, you know, how to effectively communicate in your relationships. We're teaching things like how to be a good steward of your finance, how to be in alignment with authority. Like, yes, we are teaching things that are, you know, are non-negotiables, for instance, you know, Acts 2:38, but as part of being a disciple and a disciple maker, we're also teaching just practical Christian living principles.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think to go with that, complement that, is in Elements, we have seen everything from the new convert to people that may not even have the Holy Ghost, may not even be baptized yet, but they're in the class. And we've seen it all the way to a mature saint of God come into the class. And so discipleship touches both ends of that spectrum. Elements, from what we've seen in our class, it has helped the new believer come to conversion, if you will, and it's also helped the mature believer continue on and go in even deeper into Christ. And so, you know, Acts 2:38 is very important, and the experience of salvation is very important, but we want to take that experience and turn it into a lifestyle and show people how to live that.
Right. Well, we're also meeting people where they're at. Right. Like, when we have people that come into Elements, yes, we do have new converts, or we have people that don't even know what they believe coming into Elements, as well as we have the seasoned saint coming through. But the cool thing about Elements is it is meeting every single person where they're at. For instance, with a new believer or someone who doesn't even know what they believe, they may come into Elements not necessarily coming to learn about Acts 2:38, right? Like, maybe they're coming to Elements just because they want to learn how to, you know, better do their finances, or they're coming to Elements because, let's say, there's discord in their family or in their marriage, and they just want to learn how to communicate better. Or for even the seasoned saint, maybe they're in that same predicament as well, but they have that foundational doctrine. Maybe they've already, you know, been baptized in Jesus' name, and they've already, you know, received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but yet they're still struggling to communicate with their spouse, or they're still struggling to be a good steward of their finances, or they're still wondering, you know, what all has God called me to? What are the gifts? What are the talents? What's the anointing that he's instilled within me? And the cool thing about Elements is, yes, we do have people from various walks of life coming in, but it's kind of meeting every single one of them uniquely where they're at. And I think that Elements is something for everyone, regardless of where you are on your Christian journey.
I think, you know, to that point, something that I heard the other day, and Pastor Tyler, I think I shared this with you, that, you know, salvation is finding out who God is, but discipleship is finding out who you are, right? And it's learning what your role is in the kingdom and what it means to be a follower of him. You know, I learn of this man, Jesus, through my experience in salvation, right? Between my repentance, my baptism, my being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That is me discovering Jesus, this holy God. But through discipleship and through this process of learning what is expected of me as someone who now knows who he is, I learn who I am by learning my role.
Absolutely. And I really love what you said there about discipleship is also learning who I am. It kind of takes me back to when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they had some great ideas. There was a lot of different ideas about who people thought Jesus was. And then he turns the question around from, well, who does everybody else think that I am, to who do you think that I am? So it became more personal, right? And Peter says, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he says, your name is Peter. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. I really find it fascinating how being that close to Jesus and really being a disciple, not only did it identify who Peter was, but it also identified the rock that the church would be founded on. It was finding who I am and who does Christ say that I am. And it's also got an element of truth in it as well. So I do think that's very interesting that discipleship also is about my identity in Christ, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's good.
Which is something that we also cover in the Elements class. Like, we dig into who does God say that you are? You know, what does the Bible have to say about, you know, who he's called us to be, and what has he uniquely gifted each and every single one of us?
Absolutely. I'll be honest with you, like, we have been doing the Elements class, and a lot of people have questions about it, right? Because it is a book. It is somewhat of a curriculum, if you will. But you can ask anybody that's been in the class, and you can ask those who I've asked to help me teach the class, is that we are very intentional about being Spirit-led. Yes, there is a book, and yes, there are questions and answers, but we also follow after what God is trying to do in that moment. And we have seen some beautiful things. We have seen revelation. Like, I mean, you could just see people's eyes get big whenever a point has been made, and it's like they've had a question about this their entire lives. I won't name any names, but there was specifically a young woman in our class, and we were talking about the deity of God and the humanity of Christ and how they can coexist and be in one person. And as I'm explaining the man, Jesus Christ, and his suffering on the cross, but the perfection of God's will in that moment that he would reach over and save the thief, right? You could just see in that moment, it was like she had always questioned how this was possible. She had always questioned maybe the oneness of God. But I glanced over as I'm saying this, and you can just see the tears are welling up in her eyes, because to her, this just answered a question that she's had for so long. And then we've also seen it to where we've had our classes turn into almost full-blown counseling sessions in a way, because someone there, it was dealing with something and they were struggling. And through the teaching of that class, God revealed that. And we got to go head on with someone's issue and someone's struggle. That's truly what making a disciple is. It's not just us loving people to salvation and getting them to that point, but it's about afterwards. Let's help you deal with what you're fighting. Let's help you understand the why and the questions that you have. To us, that's Elements. Not just a book, not just a class, but real people who need help.
Yeah, I agree to that, because, you know, with discipleship, we are called to be disciples, and that's treating the whole person, right? That's physically, emotionally, spiritually. Like, we're not just called to be disciples of one segment within a person. You know, a lot of times, especially as apostolics, we are very spiritually driven, which is a great thing. That's what we're called to be. But I almost feel like sometimes, as a byproduct of that, we miss the other components within the human. We kind of miss that emotional and that physical component, because we get so focused on being a disciple of the spiritual. You know, we're talking about these foundational truths like Acts 2:38. Yes, when we're making disciples, do we want to show truth? Yes. Do we want to tell them the truth? Absolutely. Of course we do. Like, that is treating the spiritual side of that person. But there's also other components that are a part of disciple making. For instance, when we're talking about the emotional and the physical, you know, yes, in these moments in our elements class, we have had spiritual moments where people have fully grasped the Godhead and the fullness of it. But there's also been moments where I can remember so specifically, there was a lady in our class and she had been in some just continual, like, toxic arguments with her daughter. And she began to discuss this in our class. And she's like, you know, how can I just communicate better with her? Like, what am I doing wrong? You know, how can I do better at this? And we had a full conversation, which is probably what you're referring to as like the little counseling session, of just how to take timeouts and breathers in our conversations. Mm-hmm. And for some, they may look at us and say, oh, well, that's not discipleship. Like, because you're not just hitting on the spiritual side of it, you're not truly making a disciple right now. Well, I think that we would beg to differ and say that's just as much discipleship as us getting them here and teaching those foundational truths, because it's meeting people where they're at. You know, we want to teach the truth, absolutely, but we also want to make sure that we're teaching the truth to the whole person. Like, we're not just teaching the truth spiritually, but we're also doing it emotionally and physically as well.
Absolutely. That's why elements, by definition, is the fundamental building blocks of a spiritual life. You know, you can't just, I'm going to say this, right? The Bible says that upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. That was the truth of who Jesus Christ was. Then you have the parable of the wise man who built his house upon a rock, right? Well, he still had to make the decision to live in it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. We have a lot of people who know the truth of who Jesus Christ is, but struggle in their day-to-day lives. Yeah. How do I talk to my kid? Mm-hmm. I remember specifically there was one lesson where we were talking about Abba Father, and how that was a very emotional way to reference God, because that is the closest thing to like dad that you could say. And I won't forget it, because I said, this is where a lot of us have a problem, is because we're okay with calling him Father and we're okay with calling him Lord. But when it comes to referring him to something that is so special like dad, I said, a lot of us with father issues in here have a hard time seeing God as our everlasting Father. And there was a woman in our class, actually a few of them, and you can tell the room just got so quiet because there was a lot of dad issues that were present in that room. And I myself have father issues. A lot of us have father issues regardless of what your relationship is right now. But that is what true discipleship is. It's not just me showing you Acts 2:38 and how to be saved. It's not even just your experience with being filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. But it's the life that's lived afterwards. It's the struggles and the demons that you have every day when you go home. Those are the building blocks of a spiritual life. I don't want to just love people to an altar, but I want to love them to the fact that they can endure to the end. And sometimes I feel like one of the greatest mishaps of discipleship is we never take them far enough.
That's good.
Agreed. And, you know, you saying that, it really makes me think about what's the purpose of getting them to the altar? You know, as, you know, two people that were raised in church, you know, Pastor Tyler and myself, you know, it's instilled within us from birth of to, you know, teach Bible studies, to teach the truth, to get people to an altar, to get them in the baptism so that they can be saved. And yes, like, we want that. But what about the after? You know, I see it happen so many times in the church that we'll bring someone to church and we'll get them to the altar and they'll have this supernatural, powerful moment with God and he'll transform their life and they'll receive salvation. And then what do? Sometimes we just walk away and we're like, okay, already, well, I can check that off the box. I made my disciple. I'm done. You know, I got them saved. They're good. Let me go get someone else. But yes, they may have had this supernatural and powerful moment on Sunday, but what about Monday? Okay, when Monday rolls around and they've still got issues in their home and they've still got financial struggles and they still hate their job, you know, there's so much that comes after that. And if we're not careful as disciple makers, we will get so fixated on the, yes, them coming to the altar and getting in the baptismal. But it's so much more than that. That's almost like our foundation that we're building on. Because if we don't get Christ in our hearts, then it's going to be a lot more difficult to fully teach and understand things like godly Christian effective communication, right? Or having godly relationships. We can't necessarily move on to those things without getting that foundation. Like, we need that spiritual foundation of Christ living within us so that we are empowered to live a Christian life, to possess those godly Christian relationships and attributes that come as a byproduct of that foundational relationship with Christ that happens in an altar moment.
I think of it like this, you know, it's like the equivalent of giving birth and leaving the hospital without your baby. You know, you've got a responsibility at that point where we're called to take them further than just the spiritual. You know, and as you guys have said, the spiritual aspect is crucial, right? We need the spirit to keep the flesh in check as we learn these things. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, there's some things in discipleship that my flesh doesn't want to hear. You know, like when we talk about godly communication, that means sometimes saying I'm sorry when I'm right. Like, I'm not the one wrong here, but it means I have to say I'm sorry. You know, sometimes it means that I get cut off in traffic and I have to be a Christian about it. You know, it's much, much more than just that deliverance experience. And I even equate it to this. We're given the ultimate example of discipleship in that Jesus found the disciples, he delivered them from the life that they were living, and then they followed him. It was a following process, right? Where it wasn't just he found them, got them out of that, told them the good news, and then left. You know, he had to teach them from there. And so what better example of discipleship do we have than that?
Absolutely. And I would say, like, on my way here today, I got to thinking about my own daughter. You know, we talk about people being babes in Christ, right? Without maturity, you know, they're just now getting into this thing. Well, when we left the hospital with our baby, there was a shift that happened in us as parents, right? So now, not only did we just have this beautiful baby, and now we're responsible for her, right? But now I got to make sure that she's fed. I got to make sure that she has a good life. I got to make sure that when she falls down, I'm there to pick her up. I got to make sure that I instill in her values, that I help her on her day-to-day life. And I'm going to have to do that for the rest of my life, you know, 100 years from now, because that's my job as a father, as that's my kid, right? And then one day she's going to grow up to have to make her own decisions. And it's like you said, not only did he pull them out of the place where they were, but you can see that they made the decision for themselves to follow him. And as disciple makers, I feel like sometimes we fail in leaving someone in such an immature state. We're not there long enough. I'm going to put it to you this way. There was a young man I got to pray for about 3 months ago. And I remember God had gave me something for him. And so I walk up to him. I tell him what the Lord said. I asked him if it was okay to pray, and I laid my hands on his head. And he immediately spoke in tongues and just has this moment of, like, deliverance. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. When I hear him speak in tongues, I can tell that this is not the first time. And so I begin to minister to him because he's coming back. Mm-hmm. This was not his first time. He was not a baby, if you will. And come to find out, he used to go to church here years ago, and life got a hold of him, and he walked out. There was even a lady here in this church that was his Sunday school teacher as a kid. And here he is. He's a grown man now. What made him walk away? did he slip up under the radar? You know, what caused that disconnect in his life? Was it the fact that maybe we let go too quickly and he hadn't quite made that decision to follow Christ on his own? I've always said that when it comes to discipleship and witnessing, it is a passing of responsibility, because until they know to the point where they can do it for themselves, I'm still responsible for that truth. So when you've properly discipled and you've properly witnessed, you have handed over the responsibility to them. Now they've got to do it on their own. That's what discipleship is.
So I have a question for you guys. So you guys are kind of like a dynamic duo. You have Tyler, who is the preacher and can talk about anything from the Bible and just go with it. You're, even though you don't want to be, you're a people person and you're good at communication. And then you have Rhea, who is the therapist of the group. And so I feel like you guys together make such a powerful impact in our church for discipleship because of what you both bring to the table. So can you talk a little bit about how is it doing discipleship together? Like, what is it that both of you guys bring that makes discipleship here a little bit different than somewhere else based off the talents and the things that you guys know that you possess as a couple and the leaders of discipleship?
Ladies and gentlemen, my wife, who has been observing this whole time, coming in with a bombshell question. Good job, honey.
So I will briefly say this and then let my wife take this. But I see things very black and white. There are no gray areas, in my opinion, even though that there are, right? So I take scripture for what it is. I love truth, and I thrive in what is right. But my wife sees the gray area aspect of why things are the way that they are and possibly what got them there.
It's the therapist in
That's
her.
That's the therapist in her. She doesn't see things for face value right away. Somebody can say something, and the comment that they make, she's ready to sit in that for a minute and understand why they made that comment. I'm ready to address the comment, if that makes sense. And so I think that's why it works, because I see things in black and white, and she recognizes the gray. And it works. And it's all because of Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, I would agree to that. You do like the black and white, and I do love the gray to an extent. But I also think what kind of makes us unique is, especially when we're in the elements class, I almost feel like we're looking for different things. Like, I almost feel like our radars are up and our antennas are high, but they're for different reasons. Like, I feel like, not to say that we couldn't take on the other's roles, but I feel like just our natural tendency to gravitate with conversation is Tyler is probably going to go more with the spiritual side, and I am more apt to go with the practical side. And I'm going to be more inclined to dig into the emotional and the relational side of it. And so when we're in the classroom, I think that our radars are high, but we're assessing different things in the classroom. And I think that that's what makes us a good team, is we are treating the whole person, right? Like, I am looking more for those physical and emotional, but he's looking more for that spiritual. And not to say that vice versa, we're not looking for that. Of course, I'm looking for spiritual things too. But I think it's just our natural tendency to lean in to that a little bit deeper. Is what I would say. Would you agree to that?
That's well said.
Yeah, so I feel like that is probably what makes us work really well. And then I also think that we are so different that I think that it works in our favor, because in an elements class, we're getting people from all different walks of life. And even, you know, breaking down Tyler and I's testimony, I mean, he's a prodigal, whereas church is all I know. That's all I've ever experienced. And so we have vastly different stories, which allows us to connect with different people in our classroom in different ways. Like, there are going to be people that I have seen really connect with the fact that Tyler's a prodigal. And then I have also seen that there are people in our class that really connect with me just for the pure fact that I'm a woman, right? And like, we have, 12 people in our discipleship class right now, and 11 of them are women, right? So inevitably, I'm going to be able to connect a little bit more with the ladies than, say, Tyler would. And so I think we definitely offer different things and we definitely bring different like experiences and upbringings to the table. But I think what also makes us work really well is we recognize that in one another. And so if there's a moment where, you know, Tyler may feel like, okay, I feel like something's going on spiritually, what did you pick up relationally? And we'll kind of lean on each other like that to be able to gather the full picture, because it takes both, right? It takes just naturally and practically being able to lean into, okay, well, I noticed that they were a little more soft-spoken when we asked them this question. Let's dig a little bit deeper into that. And yes, there may also be times where maybe they're not as obvious with their conversations to where I can't just naturally pick up on it. Well, maybe he's sensing that in the spirit of, okay, like they're hesitant there. Let's dig a little bit deeper in that. And so I think it's just, it's him and I playing off of each other's strengths and weaknesses in the classroom.
That's right. And finding people where they are is a big thing. Huge key factor to discipleship is not rushing people to a finish line, but understanding that everybody is at a different place. I think one of the greatest detriments you can ever do to somebody's life is to rush them and hand them something that they're not able to run with yet. And so, like she says, we're able to try to look at the whole person and from that, go with what the Lord's wanting to do. That even comes to the part where, like, yes, we use a book and we use a curriculum. Me and her will sit down and look at what the lessons are looking like and say, hey, why don't you take this one? That's in your wheelhouse, right? You know, like, okay, I'll take this one. This, I really like this. And we'll split the book up and try to, you know, we both teach the class. And I think because we do that, we're able to hit different avenues and different topics and in people's lives.
Right. Well, I mean, there's also the component of serving where you're needed versus serving where you feel called and serving where you're gifted. And even when we're breaking down curriculum, I think that we really see that because we will split up the curriculum where it's like, okay, yes, these are the ones that beyond a shadow of a doubt, Tyler feels like called and he feels gifted in. And then there's other parts of the curriculum that I really feel called and I really feel gifted in. And so we will kind of split that up so that we are, yes, you know, there'll inevitably be, you know, lessons that we have to do that aren't necessarily in our wheelhouse, so to speak, right? Like we don't necessarily feel as on fire teaching those lessons, but there's something powerful that happens when you're doing something that not necessarily is just another job on your resume or just another responsibility or just another task on your to-do list, but you're truly serving and ministering in something that you feel gifted and called in.
Absolutely. And I want to divert course just a little bit here and give something to the listeners that I think may help them, right? And not that, you know, everything that we've said hasn't been helpful. I think you guys are awesome. But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the what not to do's when trying to disciple somebody. Tyler, Pastor Tyler, you made a great point that one of the worst things we can do is rush somebody, right? And I'll give an example that, you know, oftentimes we have somebody come in that and I've never seen this happen at Faith Tabernacle, right? So let me just preface that. But I've been to several churches in my life, right? And I've seen where as soon as somebody is converted, there will be this flock of people on them, all trying to dress them a certain way and get them to give up, you know, habits that they've been participating in for years and years and years. And all of those things will happen in God's time. So I give that as an example of what I think can be bad discipleship, right? It's not really discipling so much as it is like trying to do God's work for him. And so, without answering the question for you, right? What are some things that we can do better as disciples? How can we help other people, you know, reach the level that we want to see them get to?
So my boss is a pastor in Walnut Grove. I've been blessed to have an apostolic boss. And he's very country. And I say that respectfully. But he says you can't skin a fish without catching it first. And I think that we focus a lot on the outward appearance of men and women because it's face value. You can't help but to see what's in front of you, right? We focus on that, thinking that if we can get that fixed, that perhaps the heart will follow. And I feel like that's what's hindered the retention of the church, is that I'm more concerned with where their heart is and where their soul is going, not necessarily what they're buying on a shelf. I'll also say this, that one of the worst things that you can do as a disciple maker is assume. And to look at something and think that you got it all understood and figured out of why someone is the way that they are or why they're at this place with the Lord, and completely assume and just take it off of what you see for face value. I want to say the second worst thing that you could possibly do is answer a question that you are not prepared to answer. There's nothing wrong with asking somebody about their life and letting them fill in all the blanks that you have. Never assume. And the second thing is don't answer a question you're not ready to answer. It is completely fine if your disciple asks you something that you don't know and you say, hey, that's a great question. Is it okay if I get back with you tomorrow and us talk about this a little further? Because you have to understand that to this world, sometimes we're the only Jesus that they will ever see. We're the only face that they will ever see, right? It's the Word becoming flesh in us, okay? And the worst thing that I can do is give them the impression that the Lord is going to assume who they are, right? And make assumptions about their life, or that he's just going to blurt off something that's not true. And I'm gonna make a mess. So I would say that the worst two things that you can do is assume that you know everything about that person and come up with a game plan on how you're going to disciple them based off of what you think you know. Right. Ask them. And the second worst thing is don't answer a question you're not prepared to answer. Ask for time. Ask for wisdom. Ask for the Lord to help you with that. So that way you can give that person the best answer that you can possibly give, and then not hinder their walk, but compliment their walk.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree to that. I think another thing would be acknowledging that we're not the Word. Mm-hmm. He is. And we have to let the Word do the work sometimes. You know, when we're coming into this as disciple makers, it's not our job to fix people. And I think that that's why as disciple makers, we get discouraged, is because we do come to it trying to fix this person. And that's not our job. We weren't created for that. Our job is to love them and to tell them the truth, but it's the Word that does all the fixing for them. And so if I could tell anyone who is maybe a listener, maybe, you know, you are a fixer by nature. You know, my husband is one of those people. We have numerous conversations where he will start off by saying, okay, Rhea, do you want me to fix it or do you want me to listen? Because it's his natural tendency to gravitate into that fixer mode, whereas for mine is to gravitate to the listener. But as disciple makers, I think that we have to be very conscientious of that, of what are we doing here? Are we trying to just listen to this disciple and be present with them and meet them where they're at? Or are we trying to fix them and take them where we think that they should go?
That's good. I'm simultaneously taking notes for marriage advice, too. That's solid. It's very good.
I also want to say this, too. You know, the story of Philip and the eunuch in the Bible. And if you read that out, the Lord tells Philip to join himself to the chariot, right? We notice that Philip didn't make the man stop, and he also didn't jump in the chariot and try to drive him to a church. But he jumped on at the same speed that this man was going. He found the scripture that he was in trying to understand, and he took it from there, and it went all the way back to salvation. That's what disciple making looks like. It's let me find out where you are, the speed of life that you're going in right now. I'm not going to try to make you stop, and I'm not going to trick you somewhere that you're not ready to go. Let's see where you are right now. And I think another thing that we probably struggle with is giving the truth in love. I have a scripture, 2 Timothy 4, verses 2. Paul instructs, he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And then there's some things that he says is going to happen if you will do that. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all patience and teaching. So like my wife said, let the word do the work. Give that word in love and watch what God will do. Don't try to force something, if that makes sense.
No, that's great. That's great. Well, Pastor Tyler, Sister Rhea, we have enjoyed so much speaking with you guys today. And I think that we have been changed, challenged, and charged, as the old apostolic saying goes, right? To go forth and become disciples. In closing, is there anything that you guys would like to throw in there? Anything you'd like to add? I'm gonna take a note from Pastor's book from Storytellers on that. Put you guys right on the spot right at the end.
You go right ahead, babe.
Okay. I would say that if you're looking to make a disciple, first look inwardly and make sure that you're in a good position to do that.
Right.
Sometimes we try to help people and we're struggling ourselves. And I don't think that you're going to be able to save somebody else's boat if yours is sinking. So first, be the best disciple that you can possibly be. Make sure that you're at a good place with the Lord before you try to represent, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then go make disciples.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback off of that, because sometimes as disciple makers, we think that it's a state of arrival to be a disciple maker. We think that we've got to have it all perfect. We got to have every I dot and every T crossed before we can ever go out and make disciples. But I would challenge whoever's listening to this podcast that there's no better disciple maker than you. Mm-hmm. And there are people that need the disciple maker that you are. You know, you're going to connect with people that, you know, Pastor Tyler and I may never connect with, and vice versa. And so give yourself grace as a disciple maker. You're not always going to have the right things to say. It's not always going to come out pretty, but allowing yourself to just be used of God. That's what I would say is all about being a disciple maker, is just being used by God.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, y'all, thank you so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. As a reminder, it is Pastor Tyler and Sister Rhea Newborn. Just to circle back to my little foray there at the beginning. But again, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you. We're looking forward to having you back again soon.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
To all our listeners, we love you so much. We are Faith. We'll see you next time.